John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drum?
Now the N is for knots, oh no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 88.1 FM from the heart of occupied Washington. We are news from the front line. We can be reached at WSQTRadio@hushmail.com, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Suppose Army recruiting ads had to have side effect warnings like drug advertisements on TV do.
The United States Army may not be right for every patient. Side effects can include distress, disillusionment, bitter resentment, isolation, traumatic and post-traumatic stress, sociopathic behavior, uncontrollable sobbing, uncontrollable violence, prosecutions for war crimes, prosecutions for domestic crimes, loss of contact with loved ones, loss of ability to love, brain injuries, blindness, depleted uranium poisoning, flashbacks, horror of death, horror of being away from death, loss of the use of limbs, loss of limbs, death, suicide, excruciating pain, the desire to feel excruciating pain, overwhelming rage and misery, loss of hearing, punishment by the Army for failure to obey illegal orders, punishment by courts of law or by enemy forces for obeying illegal orders, torture, humiliation, shame, dangerous habits of blind subservience, or the wasting of what could have been the best years of your life. If you experience any of these symptoms, deal with it, sucker. You already signed your name on the dotted line.
Afghanistan, yesterday, a Danish soldier was killed by an IED at Helmand Province. Afghanistan, Saturday, a French soldier was killed according to Al Jazeera. Afghanistan, Friday, NATO is reporting a death of an occupation soldier from an IED attack in an undisclosed location in southern Afghanistan. Afghanistan, Friday, NATO is reporting the deaths of two occupation soldiers from an IED attack in an undisclosed location in eastern Afghanistan. Afghanistan, Friday, a suicide bomber struck a bathhouse in a southern Afghan town as men gathered to wash before Friday prayers, killing 17 people and wounding 23, a provincial official reported. The Taliban claimed responsibility, saying they targeted the deputy of an influential border patrol commander. The midday bombing killed 16 civilians and a police inspector in Spin Boldak near the Pakistani border. Roadside bombs are still going off in Iraq, too. To Crete, Iraq, yesterday, an IED attack on a police convoy injured 3 policemen, including a captain, disrupting a celebration of the anniversary of the Iraqi police force. Najaf, Iraq, Saturday, Muqtada el-Sadr returned to the country from Iran. He is the founder of the Mahdi army that rose in revolt against U.S. occupiers in 2004, simultaneous with the first Battle of Fallujah. Over the weekend, he spoke in Najaf, telling his followers to resist the occupation by any means. Quote, "We shall resist the occupier by military resistance and all the means of resistance," Sadr told a crowd of tens of thousands. He is believed to be an every tool in the toolbox man, combining military, diplomatic, and parliamentary opposition in a single campaign. Mosul, Iraq, yesterday. Someone attempted to blow up another Christian church but was stopped by the Iraqi military. Quote, "An Iraqi Army 2nd Division force, in coordination with the National Intelligence Service, foiled an attempt to detonate a church in the area of Al-Dawasa, central Mosul, as a force seized 6 improvised explosive devices and 2 explosive belts prepared for detonation near the church," a military source told Aswad al-Iraq News Agency. Mr. Barack Obama, still think war and occupation are working after 9 years in Afghanistan and 8 in Iraq? If not, now is the time to pull the plug. Bring all the troops home today.
And no amount of money you could give me, honey, couldn't pay me. Ain't going back again. I ain't going back again. I ain't going back again. You won't see me back there again. No, you won't see me back there again.
Under President Bush, many terrorist suspects who were rounded up after the 9/11 attacks were designated as unlawful enemy combatants and imprisoned without charge or trial at the Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, U.S. detention camp and elsewhere. When then-Illinois Senator Barack Obama ran for the presidency, he pledged to both close down Guantanamo and reverse what he and many other civil liberties advocates declared were Bush administration violations of the U.S. Constitution and the rule of law. However, once in the White House, President Obama embraced many of the Bush-era policies related to the war on terrorism, including continued warrantless surveillance of U.S. citizens, denial of due process of law to detainees, use of the state secrets doctrine to prevent accountability for violations of the law, and the threat of extrajudicial assassinations. Now, according to news reports, the president will soon issue an executive order outlining his administration's policy on indefinite detention, affecting some 48 prisoners being held at Guantanamo. Among the provisions said to be in the document are providing to detainees a minimal review of the government's rationale for continued detention every 6 months, and a more comprehensive annual review. While some civil liberties advocates say reviews would improve the status quo, they warned that the executive order would institutionalize indefinite detention. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Bruce Fine, an authority on the U.S. Constitution, who served as the Associate Deputy Attorney General under President Ronald Reagan. Fine, who supported the impeachment of President Bush and Vice President Cheney, discusses his opposition to indefinite detention, his concern about unchecked executive power, and the erosion of constitutional protections.
Total number of detainees at Guantanamo from 2001 onward ranges in the neighborhood of 900 to 1,000. And say we're now down 48, 50 remaining detainees. a large percentage are from Yemen, and this executive order purports to address those. Now, the executive order really is a very minor tinkering with the status quo. That is, under Bush, a system called Combatant Status Review Tribunals was created to determine whether or not those who were detained at Guantanamo were indeed enemy combatants. It was a very fragile tribunal, if you will. The government's decision was viewed as presumptively correct. The detainee wasn't really given any notice of why he was viewed as an enemy combatant, simply asked, well, tell us why you shouldn't be an enemy combatant, without knowing and the evidence that the government was relying on against him. The detainee couldn't offer evidence and witnesses in his own behalf. And so that system is the one that Obama is tinkering with. Perhaps his greatest flaw is structural. The Founding Fathers described the combination of judge, jury, prosecutor in a single branch as the very definition of tyranny. And that's what these tribunals are about. That is, the executive branch is judging the correctness of its own decision to capture and detain someone as an enemy combatant. And you can imagine that the likelihood that they're going to find against themselves is very tiny. That's why we have in the ordinary due process system a requirement that an independent judge decide your case, not a member of the prosecution staff, you know, overseeing the prosecution, deciding whether his subordinates got it right. But that's what Obama is tinkering with regard to this executive order. I think it simply shows that other than a few commas and semicolons, he and Bush and Cheney are on the same page.
Bruce, Congress made a law where they don't provide funds to transfer Guantanamo detainees to the United States to stand trial in civilian courts or to repatriate them if they are found to be innocent and there's a need to release them. How do you view this legal limbo that the people who are found to be innocent are now going to be placed, in which they can't get a trial, that they're not going to be even charged, some of these guys, and if they're found to be innocent, they cannot be released?
You know, maybe Franz Kafka perhaps would have had fun with this kind of situation, and it's not humorous because it relates to people's lives and liberties here. You're speaking of the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal 2011, which the President Obama signed just about a week ago, and it states that Congress is prohibiting the use of any funds not only to transfer any Guantanamo detainee to the United States for trial, but also to release them. To release them because either the executive branch or the judicial branch has found that they're not enemy combatants. So we now have Congress ordering the incarceration of people simply because at one time there was an error in believing that they were an enemy combatant, which is a monstrous violation of due process. If there's any way that it can be challenged in court, in my mind, clearly will be held to be unconstitutional and shows you how the fraud that is being perpetrated by the American people when you have the Congress saying, well, now we're going to recite the Constitution and we're going to read it, and every day we'll set forth the constitutional provision that justifies what we have done. I can tell you they don't have any constitutional authority for that, and they surely do not understand the first inklings of due process, most important concept ever invented in the history of civilization. And you have to have process in order to treat persons with the dignity they command as human beings, even if you disagree with them and decide ultimately that they shouldn't get their way.
President Obama campaigned for the presidency saying that he would reverse many of the Bush administration's what he described as violating the Constitution and the rule of law in this country. When he got into office, he pretty much did the opposite. He clung and embraced, as it's been said, many of the Bush administration's violations of civil liberties that he once decried. What course of action can the country take to really try to reverse this stuff? Are we going to have to wait for the Supreme Court to get a very solid case to find out what happens here? Or the Supreme Court, of course, in their conservative majority, may not see it the way a lot of citizens who are concerned about civil liberties see it?
Well, it's an excellent question, and unfortunately I don't have a perfect answer, but I at least have some. Number one, I agree with you. Reliance on the U.S. Supreme Court is a very fragile reliance. The history of the court over 220 years is in the long run, they can put a few speed bumps in the road, but they're going to back down to prevailing political conventional wisdom. But It means that the American political culture has to insist that the voters will not support candidates for Congress who will tolerate a president doing these things. There's nothing that prevents Congress at any time for impeaching a president, and I supported the impeachment of Bush and Cheney for doing this, for what you would call crimes against the Constitution. It doesn't have to be a federal criminal offense. And members of Congress need to accept that responsibility. Otherwise, limits on the president are toothless. And it's going to be a long process. We cannot believe in a Pollyannish way that our political culture will turn around at any time soon. We can't leave it to others. History is biography. It's you and me and all us citizens. We've got to get the thrill of self-government back. You know, we don't want to be vassals. We may make errors, but there are errors, and we'll be accountable for it.
That was Bruce Fine, who served as the Associate Deputy Attorney General under President Ronald Reagan. His latest book is titled American Empire Before the Fall.
Guantanamo Bay. The name rings with the cries of the tortured. It is the worst prison in all of Cuba. 9 years ago tomorrow, George W. Bush opened hell for business in Guantanamo Bay. And now 9 years later, 2 years into the Obama administration, absolutely nothing has changed there. Had enough detention for life without trial? Tomorrow, the 11th of January, snow or shine, anti-war activists will demand that President Obama close the gates of hell forever at Guantanamo Bay. The protests will begin with an 11 a.m. press conference at the White House featuring the Center for Constitutional Rights and other groups. It will be followed by a procession to the Department of Justice with probably over 100 mock detainees in orange jumpsuits and black hoods walking single file. Upon arrival at the Department of Justice, there will be direct action demanding justice for those imprisoned without trial at Guantanamo Bay. This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 88.1 FM from the heart of occupied Washington. We are news from the front line. We can be reached at WSQTRadio@hushmail.com, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. On the 3rd of January, barely after New Year's Day, the Metro Riders Advisory Council held a public meeting, the main subject on the agenda being the bag searches, where a lot of people showed up to tell Metro, don't touch my junk. People coming in for the hearing. Get a load of this. Bag searches at a public meeting on bag searches. You want to search my bags to attend a public meeting about bag searches? Metro, don't touch my junk! What a brilliant way to keep people from speaking out about bag searches. Bag searches to get into the meeting. Anyway, here's what someone had to say outside the hearing.
Yeah, and I believe that, people gotta stand up for their civil rights. And, security's important, but, so is civil rights.
Yeah. But I couldn't get in there. I had just one thing to say to him. Don't touch my junk.
I hear you.
Some folks who did get into the hearing said they were going to boycott Metro over the bag searches. One man was quoted in the Washington Post as saying if the cops demanded to search his bag, he would refuse to search and boycott Metro for the next 5 trips. Here's what somebody inside the hearing had to say as recorded by another radio station.
Metro System is thus going to great expense to drive down its own ridership.
Worried about the terrorists winning every time somebody is searched for no reason, the terrorists win again.
That's right, Metro. And you have no right to sacrifice our civil liberties on the altar of security voodoo. What are you doing, Metro? Trying to sell cars? On the 7th of January, in 30-degree weather, DC's critical mass bicycle ride headed out from DuPont Circle
promptly headed to Metro headquarters, where riders got off their bikes and gave these speeches condemning Metro's bag searches.
Headquarters of Metro.
Official decree that to make us all safer, there's going to be random bag searches when you go down into the metro.
Only at certain stops, only at certain times.
They announce stuff sometimes?
No, they keep it random.
They get announced at indie media. If you know where to look online before you hit the metro, you can find out where they're searching bags.
Wait a second, I thought the Fourth Amendment protected us against unlawful search and seizure.
Yes.
What's that thing?
There's a Fourth Amendment, but unfortunately, Metro can't read. trust me, I talked with their cops. They can't read. The cops weren't bright enough to say anything useful. They said, basically, we're going to do whatever we want. We don't want to listen to the board of directors. We don't want to listen to the riders. We're just going to do whatever we want. We have federal grant money. It didn't come out of our pockets. I don't know where it came from, because it's federal grant money.
What Metro probably figures is that since nobody's required by law to ride the Metro, that the Fourth Amendment doesn't apply. And as you see these here bicycles in front of you, there are alternatives to riding the Metro. No, we're not required to ride Metro. And let me tell you, if I was selling bikes or, God help me, Hummers, I'd be pretty happy about this right now, because it's going to sell a lot of bicycles. It's going to sell cars. Lots of people aren't going to want to ride the trains with these random bag searches. Make you late to work. They pull you aside. Oh, just a couple seconds to swab your bag. What, your bag's been in your garden. The garden's got potassium nitrate from fertilizer. Potassium nitrate's the active ingredient in black powder. So now you got to open up your bag and pull everything out for a search. There's nothing in there that is, unless you get arrested for marijuana or something like that. But you still missed your train. You're late to work.
The Metro video doesn't show a, quote, random selection when it comes to the bag search. The little video shows some guy standing there and looking at the turnstiles, and then he'll go and usher
a number.
What is that?
Michael Taborn, who's the chief of police of Metro, calls up his guys and is like, all right, 14 people. So every 14 people, that have bags over a certain size will get searched. So a guy can walk in there, or gal, with C4 strapped to their, private parts, walk in there, blow the place up, and not ever be searched. Or
what's our recourse? Can we say no?
Yeah, we can boycott Metro.
If you say no, they will not let you on with your bag that they want to search. They make you leave your bag, or I don't even know what.
And they might follow you. They might follow you. They might arrest you. They might do.
On what charge?
A number of things.
What would be?
No charge. They do what they want.
Guantanamo Bay, enemy combatant kind of stuff, maybe.
Basically, they do what they want. They don't care what we think, what we the people think. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about the rule of law. All they care about is spending our tax money for their little grant so they can pretend they're little Homeland Security commandos.
It really doesn't protect us. There's no way.
Are you going to the
And so Monday night, they had a big meeting here. It was like, I don't know, 35 people or so or more.
It was that,
more than that.
Yeah.
You were there.
No, I was there.
So a bunch of people protesting this in an official forum.
And some couldn't get in because of the bag searches to get in.
2 years ago they tried this and we won. So we just gotta try it again. I mean, right to the Metro board, right to...
Here's the thing about that. The chief of police and the general manager of Metro had a little meeting in their office, a little powwow. And they're like, all right, how can we fuck over the Metro riders even more? And, they came up with this plan to randomly search people and didn't even go by the board of directors. The board of directors were not even asked, not even told them until it was happening. Eating my fares and mowing my service in the same breath. All right.
Let's
show them we got an alternative. Riders got back on their bikes and swept through the streets of D.C., passing by the Verizon Center, circling at the intersection of 31st and Wisconsin, finally riding back towards DuPont.
Three years ago, the United States Supreme Court rejected an appeal to overturn the federal law banning so-called partial birth abortion in the case of Gonzalez versus Carhart. The 5-4 ruling demonstrated the power of the court's conservative wing, led by Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Sam Alito. The ruling has encouraged anti-abortion activists and conservative states to push for more restrictions on reproductive choice. In Nebraska, Mike Flood, the legislature's speaker, led a successful drive to ban abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy, the harshest restriction of any state in the country. The Nebraska law is so restrictive that it forced late-term abortion provider Leroy Carhart, who served women from across the Midwest, to leave the state. Anti-abortion activists now call the Nebraska law a model bill for a future challenge to abortion rights before the Supreme Court. Justice Anthony Kennedy, long seen as a swing vote on the Supreme Court, signaled he may be in favor of restrictions on abortion rights. In his opinion in the Gonzalez case, Kennedy noted the pain and regret a woman may have after having an abortion. In stinging dissent, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote, "This way of thinking reflects ancient notions of a woman's place in the family and under the Constitution that have long been discredited."
What are the teabaggers smoking? Last summer, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, a Blue Dog Democrat herself, faced a Tea Party GOP opponent who used an opportunity to shoot an automatic rifle as a fundraiser against her. Tea Party leader Sarah Palin showed her entire congressional district in rifle crosshairs. On Saturday, the 8th of January, 22-year-old Jared Launer shot her in the head, then opened fire on the surrounding crowd. First came the talk, then came the direct action. Jared Launer is said to have hated Jews and espoused anti-immigrant and anti-Obama health plan views. Furthermore, this station has been informed that Jared Launer is connected to the racist, suit and tie Nazi American Renaissance Conference, the one that was prevented from convening in D.C. last year by effective threats of peaceful protest and boycott against any hotel that would host them. In the aftermath of this mass shooting, we are not hearing of FBI raids against the American Renaissance Conference, nor against her GOP opponent who injected the gun into the race, nor police investigations into Sarah Palin's gun-imaged hate mongering. Now let's get real here. A racist militiaman shoots a congresswoman in the head, and nothing happens except to him. The mainstream press bleats calls for turning down political discourse and rejects calls for fighting back against armed hate. Had Jared Launer been a recent American convert to Islam, ostracized from all mosques for his violent talk, every mosque he ever set foot in would have been raided anyway. FBI sweeps would descend upon the entire U.S. Muslim community, and terror would rule the night like in the weeks after September 11th. With a racist gunman, nothing happens except to him. Every time a piece of property is destroyed by activists opposing animal torture, war, or environmental catastrophe, there are grand juries, FBI raids, and arrests of peaceful above-ground activists. When a racist gunman shoots a member of Congress for voting for immigration reform and health care, or maybe just for being Jewish, nothing happens except to him. Okay, Tea Party, here's a scoop. This is one too many rockets fired from Sarah Palin's Alaska and this one detonated in Arizona. Ms. Palin, it is you and the Tea Party that need to mellow out before more people get killed.